CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The turmoil in Israel, the city of Lod, L-O-D. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. Help me. Where is Lod? Have I ever been there? I do not recall. Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening, and to our special guest. But yes, you have been there, even though you may not have been aware of it, because when you landed Ben-Gurion, it used to be the international airport of Israel. It used to be called Lod Airport because it's located there, which is about 15 kilometers south of Tel Aviv. It's in the central district of Israel. So when you hear news reports, that incorporates Lod, which is unusual in a number of respects. One, that it's two-thirds Jewish, one-third Arab, and generally considered peaceful, and a town that beginning to come back economically in other ways. I think there are over 70,000 people, and it's a historic biblical city of Lod, which gives it its name.
The headlines from Israel say that the authorities have imposed a curfew because of the turmoil of these last nights, and we're very pleased to welcome a resident of Lod, Tali Gottlieb, the COO of Volcani International Partnerships, but she lives in the city. So, Tali, help us understand how you experienced the turmoil the first two nights before the curfew was imposed. When did you know things were bad? Good evening to you.
Good evening. We were feeling a lot of tension right away, almost, on the back of everything that was happening in Jerusalem in terms of the Temple Mount and also the evacuations that are being planned and have been pushed off, but have created a tremendous amount of conflict between the Arab and Jewish community as a whole. And I don't remember exactly what hour it was on Monday, but we start to feel this unprecedented wave of violence that starts taking place. In the last 2 days, that's Monday and Tuesday, over 30 cars have been incinerated and countless more have had all of their windows smashed in with rocks and clubs. Molotov cocktails have been thrown into synagogues and homes have been broken into and torn apart. On Monday, a group of students were trapped for hours at a local community center surrounded by violent rioters until the police were able to safely evacuate them. And yesterday, which was Tuesday, Jews were essentially told to stay inside from 4 p.m. onward because it was simply too dangerous to be in the streets. And so you had hundreds of families who were either locked down at home or completely fled the city in fear of what was going to happen when we all knew the riots would start at night.
Malcolm?
When this all broke, and we should note that Tali, in her professional position, works in an organization that tries to improve the lives of people around the world and spread using the technologies that are developed in agriculture and other areas. So and she lives voluntarily in this city, and many others who want to build good relations. What triggered the immediate action that took place? And I know it happened in some of the other cities in Israel. And did the police respond when the rioting started?
This is Monday, Tali. Monday. Can you recall for us?
Yes. So when we ask what triggered what's happening right now in these kinds of violent riots that we really haven't seen since the Second Intifada, it gets a little bit complicated because basically the situation in Lod has slowly been developing into a massive powder keg. You'll hear a lot of people now lamenting the loss of years and years of progress in Jewish-Arab relationships. And it's all, you know, wiped away in a night or two. And personally, I find it a little hard to believe. I'd like to be wrong on this, but I don't actually think that the quiet of recent years has really been reflective of the two communities growing closer or even really building any trust. I think we were seeing a very delicate quiet, and that tiny little spark of conflict that took place in Jerusalem, it set off what was an existing powder keg. I think had the situation actually been as quiet, you know, they say, the quiet waters run deep. So there was a lot going on under the surface over here, which had that not been the case, I don't think that there was any one event that would have triggered this. Monday night was a bit of a horror show. I have to admit it was probably the most scared I've ever been. And I've been living in Israel for over a decade now. And so, you know, having seen everything, but I've been around the block once or twice, and it felt like we were living through a pogrom. It felt like events that should not be taking place in 2021. And what's crazy is I'm not sure if you heard, but there were only three arrests made on Monday night. Three men were arrested, and they were three Jews who shot in self-defense at mobsters who were coming at them with Molotov cocktails and throwing these cocktails at them, throwing these homemade bombs at them, throwing rocks at them, and slowly backing them into their apartment complex, where basically their wives and children were huddled in fear, praying that these people couldn't break into the building. And this is after 45 minutes. And you can hear the recordings, and I have the WhatsApp, because, of course, the whole community is contacting one another constantly throughout this. And what you're just seeing, that they're begging and pleading for the police to show up, and no one comes. And the reason that no one came is not because the police don't care. It's because there was such mayhem throughout the city. There were so many literal fires to be put out, including the police station itself, which was ablaze. They didn't have the capacity. They couldn't send a unit until there was a dead body to be collected. And shockingly, with all the mayhem that there was, imagine, it was so bad that you had people calling saying, we're shooting in the air. They're throwing bombs at us. We don't know what to do. Please come. This is going to end badly. They didn't have enough capacity to send it. And that was the situation that we were in. And that was going on throughout the entire city. And with all that mayhem, only three arrests were made. And it was three Jewish men. I found that to be really shocking and very disappointing. And I think it's really eroded a lot of the trust that the community has for the police force here.
Malcolm.
And we should note, John, that in this riot, they took the Torah scrolls in the synagogue and threw them on the ground, that they set fire to the three Jewish schools and to other religious institutions, as well as, Tali said, the cars, et cetera. So it was, you know, really a tense situation and that exploded, and it did it very quickly, it seems.
Malcolm, a detail. Tali refers to events in Jerusalem. What happened on Monday in Jerusalem? Anything extraordinary? Because we talked about Jerusalem Day when we last spoke.
Right. You had the rioting on the Temple Mount, and which was instigated. And we know that both foreign forces, Iran, Turkey, others are instigating it, paying for these demonstrations. It's clear now that it was all pre-planned, because they found stockpiles of firebombs, rocks stored inside the mosques on the Temple Mount. And because those demonstrations escalated, then I think that lit the fuse both in Lud and some of the other places. But you see now that it's the true intent with the rockets and the 1,000 rockets coming from Gaza, that the intent is a much broader one, that they aren't willing to accept Israel's right to exist, even if they live in Israel. And I'm wondering if, Tyler, you could tell us, what do you think the long-term impact will be, both in the city, but also more broadly?
We just have a minute, Tali.
I think that a big part of the problem is really education. I think a lot of the Arab youth has kind of disconnected themselves completely from the police force and the state itself, and it's created a certain sense of anarchy, which has created the situation where the police can no longer control them. And along the same lines, I joined a Zoom this morning with my daughter, who's 7 years old, and they had kind of an emotional debrief and unpacking with her teacher. Every kid said what they experienced. And when you hear it through the eyes of these children, and you hear these terrifying experiences of kids looking out the window and seeing people set their family car on fire and hearing their parents begging police to come and no one's showing up, and you hear it being spoken about by these little kids, you realize that we're raising a generation that has no chance of ever trusting each other. We're, I don't know how we're ever going to repair this relationship, but I imagine that the implications of what's going on right now are going to run much deeper than anybody is going to be able to solve with any sort of immediate action. This is something that needs a lot of thought and a lot of planning, and we need to start almost with the youngest, you know, and make sure that we kind of course correct in terms of how we perceive the other community, because there's a chasm right now, and I don't see any way to build a bridge that would
Tali Gottlieb is COO of Volcani International Partnerships and a resident of the city of Lod, L-O-D. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.